Let me ask you to turn to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Verse 1 begins, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." He lists the names of the heads there. Now look down at verse 30. "They went and searched, and they came back. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." As brethren together, those whom the Lord calls by Christ Jesus, when he puts his children together, I'm not talking about when we join a church. I'm not talking about when we decide our membership's going to be at this church or that church. I mean when God joins his children together in a family. He begins to put the hearts of this family together. And he begins to teach us through the gospel. Not that anybody can get the 5 points of Calvinism. Anybody can get a system of theology. He begins to teach us that what he's taught us in the heart concerning the security and the assurance of salvation being accomplished by God through the blood and righteousness of Christ, he begins to show us that what we're talking about is not a theory. It's not a doctrine. It's not a system. It's none of that. What he's teaching us here, he begins to use everything in providence, everything in our lives to teach us that he is our salvation, that God is our Savior and he is our salvation. We begin to comprehend it a little bit. I've been in the same church. I sat in the same place from the beginning. And I've been with you now here for a number of years, and I see it now from a little different angle than I saw it before. But we begin to comprehend this a little bit, to enter into it a little bit. God makes every believer to know that God will never leave us in eternal matters. And he makes us to know that by showing us how he never leaves us in these earthly matters. By making good on the lesser promises, God assures our hearts that he makes good on the greater promises. Those that he's accomplished for us by Christ Jesus, our Redeemer. And these lesser promises, he is accomplishing them. He is accomplishing them. They're really not lesser at all. They're not lesser and greater with our God. All the salvation he accomplishes every hour of every day for us is amazing. It's great. There's nothing really lesser about it. But in order to teach us these things, God has to move us forward. He has to move us along. And as we move through this wilderness, through this life, we move along and the Lord uses props to teach us. He uses props throughout our life to teach us. To teach us that our eternal salvation is by his hand and that it's sure. He uses props like a land that we live in that just is constantly bringing forth briars and trouble and all kinds of problems. He uses the expenses that we face together, you and I. He uses the things that, various things that we have to purchase together as a church. He uses various trials that we have to go through, like in our jobs or heartaches we have in our families where we mourn for one another. We're learning these things affect each other as we our hearts are knit closer and closer together. All of these things. But all of these things that God uses, all of these things that He shows us, and He uses joy too, different things that create joy in our life. But all of those things, they're not the important things. The building, that's not the important thing. That's not the important. These are props. They're props to teach us the more important thing. The more important thing is that God Himself is our salvation. That's the more important thing. And at times He brings us right through the sea. He lays waste all our enemies. He puts a song of rejoicing in our hearts. And in all of these, using these different things. And he makes us to see the greater truth that Christ has accomplished our redemption. We have eternal life. We are seated at the right hand of the Father right now, though it doesn't appear so to us. And our hearts rejoice. And we're just almost overwhelmed at times that this thing is real. God's salvation is true. This is not games we're playing here. And oh, we rejoice in it. And then we go a little further, and He brings us along, and He brings us to some bitter waters. And we fret, and we feel like we're left alone and all these things. And then again, He shows us what He's done for us in Christ. And it's just so sweet. The waters become so sweet. And He just makes us to see all over again. The Lord is, He's working all these things together, not to let me turn from Him, but to show me how secure I am in Him. That's what He's doing. And he brings us, as it were, to, like we saw there after they went to those bitter waters, He brings us to the palm trees, and He brings us to the wells of water. And again, we rejoice, and we see how much He's providing for us every day, every hour, and how He's provided for us everything eternally. And we rejoice, and we just rejoice and think, how could I ever think for a moment that God's not providing everything for me? But God won't let us camp out at those palm trees. He won't let us camp out by these props. He won't let us lay hold of these props and find any lasting comfort in them, because they're just props. They're not the thing that's important. He won't let us to do that. He keeps moving us forward. He keeps making us look beyond ourselves. He keeps making us look beyond even our own families. He keeps making us look beyond these four walls. He keeps making us look forward to Him and to do the things we do in this life with Him being first and Him being the reason why we do what we do. But we don't always like to move forward. We just don't like to move. We don't like to move forward. And the reason we don't is because it looks to us like if we move forward, it looks like sometimes there's not as much water there, or there's bitter water there. But the Lord just keeps on showing us over and over that He always provides plenty. And that's the lesson. When all the props have been melted away into nothing, we're going to stand before plenty. And then we're going to say, why did we ever doubt? We're going to see plenty. We're going to see Him in all His brilliance. And we're going to think, why? Why was I holding on to a worm? Why did I dig around in the dirt underneath a tube before and find me a little slimy, wiggly worm and hang on to that thing and pet it and kiss it and love it like it was something important? And I'm talking about the cars and the houses and everything it is that we hold on to and think it's really something and we can't do without it. Just hold on to a little slimy worm. And then we're going to wake up one day in His presence and see plenty and say, man, what a dummy I was. And that's the lesson that He's teaching us in everything. We're complete. The believer's complete in Christ. We're accepted by Holy God. Our justification is our justifier. Our sanctification is our sanctifier. Our deliverance is our redeemer. Our sufficiency, our provider, is our God. That's what he's teaching. And for his sake and for his glory, he's going to provide everything we need. For this reason, so we can tell it to somebody else in this life. So we can tell somebody else that this is true. He's everything. I want to talk to you this morning about unbelief. We're going to see a few things about faith too, but my primary subject this morning is going to be unbelief. Now our text here in Numbers 13 starts with the Lord telling Moses to send men that they may search the land of Canaan. He's brought them to the edge of Canaan. This is the land he's promised them. He brought them all through this wilderness and brought them now to the edge of Canaan. Promised them this land. They've been looking forward to getting here. And they get here now, and the Lord says, "Now, believe me, go ahead, move in there, and get it. Go take it." But this is not where, our Numbers 13 is not where this begins. It doesn't begin right here. I want you to see what happened first. Deuteronomy 1. Turn over to Deuteronomy 1. Now, this is, how does God teach us to walk? I'm talking to you who believe the Lord. How does God teach us to walk? He tells us in Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. That's how we walk. We walk by faith, not by sight. Scriptures tell us, Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for because faith lays hold of God, who is our substance. He's the reality. He's the substance, the foundation, the sureness of everything we hope for. That's who our faith lays hold of. That's why faith is the substance. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, because through faith we see Christ, who's providing everything for us. Now that's how God tells us to walk as believers in this world, by faith. But the first thing we see here is unbelief. Unbelief proposes a different approach than what God commands. Always. Unbelief always proposes a different approach than what God commands. Now, Deuteronomy 1, this is what God told Moses to tell the people. You know, we think about God talking to Moses and Moses going and talking to the people. It's not much different than us sitting here reading the Word. And God, this is what God's telling us right here, what he told them. God says this, Deuteronomy 1:21, "Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged." That's what came first. God said that through Moses first. Then came the proposal of unbelief. Then came the proposal of men in the camp. Verse 22. "And ye came near unto me, every one of you," that is Moses talking, "ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said," now look at this, they didn't say, "Do you think we ought to do this?" What they said, "We will send men before us, and they shall search out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come." And Moses said, "And the saying pleased me well." Now, when you look at this at first glance, what they proposed sounded like faith. They said, "We'll send men out before us, and they're going to bring back word, and they're going to tell us which way will be the best way to go up and which cities will be the best ones to go to first." This looks like faith, doesn't it? Looks like faith. And Moses thought it did. Moses said, "It pleased me well." Well, they had God's word concerning the land. They had God's word concerning those cities. Faith's not a blind leap. You see, we got something better than foresight. We got God's word. We got something better than seeing what lies around the curve. We got God's word. We got something better than seeing what tomorrow holds. We got God's word. We got God's word. We got the word of him who holds what's around the curve. And this is what he said about that city, about that land. He said, "I'll send my fear before thee, and I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs to thee." That's what God told him. And he told him exactly what the land was going to look like. In Ezekiel 20:6, he said this, in the day that I lifted up my hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. You see, before God ever made anything, God espied. He spied out this whole world of time before he ever made time. He knew what enemies were going to be in it because he purposed for them to be in it, just like he did in that land they came to, just like he's purposed what enemies you're going to face this afternoon and what enemies I'm going to face. And you don't know it. You don't know it yet. And the ones you're going to face tomorrow and that I'm going to face tomorrow. He espied the whole thing, and he did it, and he put the enemies in it to show forth his salvation, the salvation of his people through his Son. This whole world was made for that reason, to show this grand gospel declaration of how God saves his people by his Son. And he came to you who believe, and he's told you this message, and he's made it effectual in your heart. And he's declared to us all our enemies are conquered. He's declared to us everything is ours. He says to us, the land is yours. And he says, now walk by faith, not by sight, and I'll deliver you. That's exactly what he told them. That's exactly what he told them when he brought them to that land. Exactly. And he's carrying us into a land that is the glory of all lands, his presence. And he says, now when you come through this Canaan here, just go in and possess it. I'm going to bring you through it. But we got a terrible tendency to want to know what lies ahead before we take the next step, don't we? We want to know what lies ahead before we take the next step. Well, we don't need anything else than to know this. God has said, I will provide. God has said, I've given my Son for you. I've redeemed you. I'm going to provide for you. That's what God has said. I don't see with the carnal eye what I believe by the gospel of Christ. Do you? Do you see with your carnal eye what you believe? God says Christ put away my sin. I believe him. I don't see it. Not with this eye. God says I'm complete in Christ. I believe him. I don't see it with this eye. God says he's going to provide everything for me in this life. I believe him. I don't necessarily see things just popping out of the wild blue and out of the springing up out of the ground for me. But it always has. He always provides. He always does. You think about what the children of Israel were proposing. They wanted to spy out the land first. And then after convincing themselves that they could provide for themselves in that land, then they would believe the Lord and go forward. Is that how you came to God? Is that how you came to Christ? If we have, if that's how we came to him, we haven't come to him yet. I think that's called self-salvation. That's called free will. That's called works. That's called the will of man. That's called leaning to man's own understanding. The same as attempting to come to God in ourselves rather than believing on Christ Jesus the Word. It's the same as not trusting God to provide in temporal matters in this world as we walk through this wilderness. They're one and the same. You realize we're as dependent upon the next breath as we are upon eternal salvation. Take the most mundane, simplest thing. We're as dependent upon God for that as we are for the greatest thing. Do you think, let me ask you this question. Do you think that we would believe that God has put away our sin in Christ if God allowed us to see fully just how truly hideous the sin we are right now in our flesh? You think if he opened up our eyes and let us see just how hideous our sin is, you think we'd believe he's put it away? Let me ask you this. Do we think we'd believe that God's going to deliver us into eternal glory if He just opened our eyes and let us see the invisible powers and principalities and rulers of the darkness that are surrounding us every hour, even when we're asleep in our bed, with bated breath that would love to just snatch us away into condemnation forever? You think if He let us see really what's surrounding us right this moment, right now? You know, when Job's family came to worship God, Satan came with them. That's scary. If He let us see it, we would probably not believe that we were going to be delivered into glory. God's promised every believer, He's made us more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He's promised us that. This is the gospel we preach, that He's going to deliver us into the land more glorious than all other lands. Do we have to see what God's doing to believe it? Or do we believe God? Do we trust God? Well, now we come to our text in Numbers 13:1. That's what was taking place. They said, well, let us go look. Well, the Lord did. The Lord permitted them to go look. He knew what was in their heart already. And the Lord permitted them to spy it out to teach us a lesson. Now, this is the lesson the Lord's teaching us right here. The Lord teaches us that the only way I, myself, you, yourself, the believer, and us together, the only way we will stand is by faith, trusting God and His Word. That's the only way we'll stand. Watch this now. Verse 1. And the Lord, Numbers 13:1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. It's done. The Lord said, I'm giving it to them, but let them go search it. Now notice the instructions that the Lord gave them concerning who to send. He says, of every tribe, of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Now, why did God give them this specific command on who to send? God required that they should send a man of every tribe, so that each tribe will stand responsible for what's about to take place. So that no tribe could say, well, we weren't represented in that. We wouldn't have done that. We wouldn't have done that. Everybody's got somebody representing them here. God required each spy must be a man of the highest personal dignity among them. He had to be a ruler. So that they couldn't stand back and go, we always knew he was a liar. You shouldn't have sent him. If we could have picked out who we wanted to send, we would have sent the best of the best, cream of the crop, and we wouldn't have done this. And because the land would appear, when they got in there and saw it, it was going to appear exactly as God told them it would. And so God commanded them through Moses specifically where to go and what to look for and what to report on when they got back. Numbers 13, verses 17 through 20 tell us that. I'm not going to read it all, but he said, you go in there and you tell whether the people be strong or weak, whether they be few or many. He said, come back and tell us which. Whether they dwell in tents or in strongholds. Whether the land be fat or lean. Whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring fruit of the land back. And yet, with all those precautions that God made for them, He made those precautions for them and said, do it this way. And now I'm going to take my hand off, let you go in there now, and you come back and tell me what you see. Come back and tell me what's in your heart. And with all those precautions in place, the men came back with an evil report that went directly against the promise and will of God. Here's the lesson. There is no precaution that a man can take that will overcome the wicked heart of unbelief. Nothing. Nothing. No popular opinion is going to make us stand. Not the majority is going to make us stand. They had somebody here from every tribe. It's not going to be the counsel of the wisest man among us. But hear me well, this is very important. Don't look at whoever you deem to be the wisest man among us. Don't look at them, because you're not going to stand by them. I don't care who you think they are. You're not going to stand by the majority, and you're not going to stand by the wisest man among us. Not at all. Not even our natural eyes seeing things to be precisely as God tells us they'll be. We're not going to stand by that either. They saw things in that land exactly as God told them beforehand it would look like. That did make them stand. You know how we're going to stand? The only way for you individually, for you personally to stand, the only way for me personally to stand, the only way for all of us collectively to stand is by faith alone, believing God, believing His Word. That's the only way. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what this book is teaching us? That's the only way. Else the whole church will stumble, as did Israel in that day. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That He is. All right, let's see what this unbelief does. Unbelief becomes afraid, even though things appear before the natural eye exactly as God said they would appear. Look at verse 27. But at the same time, faith is of good courage. Let's see this. It was just like God said it would be. Verse 27. They come back. They search it all out. They come back. And they told him, Moses, they said, we came unto the land which thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. They brought back a giant cluster of grapes, and they said, this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in that land. That's exactly what God said they would be. He didn't say, go and just come back and tell the people that the people are weak in the land. He said, go and tell them. Come back and tell us, are they weak or are they strong? And they come back and they said, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. That's exactly how God said they would be. And the cities were walled. They weren't living in tents. That's exactly how God said it would be. And a very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. That's exactly how God said it would be. God sent them to see that everything about the land was exactly how God said the land would be. That's what He sent them in there to see. But seeing is not believing. Seeing is not believing. All it did was feed the fear of the people. That's all it did. It made them afraid. Listen to what it did to the one with faith. Verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we're all well able to overcome it. Caleb got that from going in and seeing it, didn't he? No. No, he had that before he ever went in there and saw it. And seeing it didn't make it any greater. It wasn't anything about the land that gave him the courage to say, we be well able to overcome it. It was the God he believed who is able. That was what faith saw from the beginning. Whether he went in or didn't go in, his mind was made up. God said it, we can do it. He saw with the same eyes they did, but that's not what made him say that. Verse 20, look back up there. Look at what God said in that verse. When he told them to go in there, he said, and be ye of good courage. Faith heard that. Faith heard, be ye of good courage. And Caleb believed God, and he came back with good courage just like he had before he went in there. And the obstacles didn't appear to him as they did to those in unbelief. They didn't even look the same to him. Do you see that in this life things appear just exactly as God said they would? God said this. This is what God himself said when he stood on this earth. He said, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Have you found it to be so? Why, at what point does he have to lie to us? It's me that is the tribulation. It's you that is the tribulation. It's sinners just like us in this world that is the tribulation. What do we think we're going to find in the midst of a land of sinners other than trial and tribulation? He told us exactly how it is. But by faith do you hear Christ in your heart like Caleb did? But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's what faith, that's what Caleb heard when he heard them, when God spoke through Moses and sent him in there, and he said, but be of good courage. I'm giving it to you. I've overcome it. It's yours. The victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, John said. We were talking about this in the back this morning. Everybody goes around and says, well, you got to have faith. You just got to have faith. That's all good. Everybody loves that, as long as it's a nice, generic thing. Faith in a stump won't do you any good. Faith in a stump won't help you one bit. It's not faith that is the victory. The reason faith, the faith of the believer is the victory, is because thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's who faith lays hold of. That's who it is. And that's who Caleb was looking to from the beginning. From the beginning. Now let's go back and look again. We'll see something else. Chapter 13, verse 31. Unbelief makes the report evil. Look, verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel. You know when the report turned evil? The report wasn't evil when they came back and told, nevertheless, the cities be strong and great. That report wasn't evil when they came back and told exactly what they saw. That report wasn't evil then. You know when the report became evil? When they said, we be not able. When they said, no, the land, they started bringing up this evil report about the land. They started lying about it's what they did. They didn't say it's exactly as it was told us. They interjected their unbelief and said, we're not able to take it. Faith says God's able. Unbelief says we're not able. We're not able. We got no ability in us, period. It's pride that says we're not able. It's pride saying that in them, that say we're not able. Because the flip side of that is, if we were, we'd go in and take it. We are not able. That's true. We are not able. But humility says we're not able. But God's able. God's able. The evil report of unbelief's evil because it causes us to forget the word of God. Look at verse 32 there. They said, the land through which we've gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Look over to Exodus 23. Exodus 23. I was surprised when I moved up here the first summer when I moved to New Jersey. I was surprised that when I went outside in the summertime at night, how many mosquitoes began to bite me. And where I grew up, when you get bit by mosquitoes, we'd go, man, those mosquitoes are eating me up. They are eating me alive. Whenever they went in there, not only did God show them this land, God showed them what he was going to do, that he said he was going to do in the land to drive out their enemies. Look at Exodus 23:28. I'll send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before thee. And they go in there and they got stung by a couple of hornets and they come back and said, this land will eat you up. We getting eat up in this land when we went in there. I wonder how many times unbelief causes us to forget the word of God. God had told them this. I wonder how many times unbelief causes us to forget the word of God. We get stung by some perplexing providence. And we think we're all discouraged in our unbelief. When the fact of the matter is, the perplexing providence is the very thing the Lord has sent to make the way for us. It's the very thing he sent to make the way for us. The only thing that comes to mind right now is, right now, one of the One of the greatest things that we're all complaining about is we can't because of the economy. Maybe that's God's providence opening the way so we can. Look, unbelief makes the report evil by exaggeration. Look at verse 32. And this is what they said too in Numbers 14:32. I'm sorry, Numbers 13:32. They brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel. They said, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And then they said this, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Look over it, back up here at Exodus 13:22. As they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. You see those three names right there? Those are the three sons of Anak. And I looked that up all through scriptures. There may have been more giants in that land. I don't know. But this I do know. Everywhere that the sons of Anak are mentioned as giants, there's only three of them. There's only three of them. That's all. The city where they lived was called the City of Four, because counting their father, there was four of them. But that's all there was of them. But they come back and unbelief said, all the people we saw there were giants. All of them were giants. And we're just grasshoppers. We can't go in. Does that happen? How many times is it that when our heart gets filled with unbelief, a molehill is a mountain. A molehill is a mountain to us. Look at Matthew 17:19. This is what the Lord said. Remember this when the disciples were trying to cast out this demon out of this child, and they couldn't do it. And the Lord came and he just rebuked him and cast him out immediately. In verse 19, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Matthew 17:19. They said, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, just a little, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it'll remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. What do we need to fast from? We need to fast from sight. We need to fast from our wisdom. We need to fast from our understanding. We need to fast from looking at things and trying to determine what God's doing by what we can see with our eye. That's what we need to fast from. And what do we need to feed upon? God's Word. We need to feed upon what God said. I'm doing the saving, God said. I'm doing the providing, God said. What is it that God delights in about prayer? What is it about prayer that God delights in? It's whenever you confess you have absolutely no ability whatsoever. And you say, Lord, I'm absolutely dependent upon you to be my sufficiency and my strength. God delights in that. That's why he's sending us everything he's sending us to show us we got no ability and we got no strength and we're just ignorant little children walking around. It's God alone who makes the mountain a plain. You don't have to have much faith to do it because you're not the one doing it. Just a little bit of faith that trusts that God will do it. And God said, I'll do it. I'll make the mountain a plain. I'll make that which is really just a molehill to be what it is. Just a molehill. It's nothing. They're looking to that land. That's like us looking to this land of our flesh and looking to this land all around us. It's the same thing. To anything but the Word of God. To find encouragement or strength to believe God. To take the next step. Everything that we look to other than God Himself It's just like what they're trying to do here. They said, surely it does flow with milk and honey. The believer's got some fruits. We bear fruit. By the Spirit of God, we bear fruit. And God has provided fruit for us in our lives. He's always provided plenty for us. But the moment you start looking at the fruits in you, and the moment I start looking at the fruits in me, and the moment I start looking at the fruits He's provided for me, I'll never have enough and I'll always be discouraged. We're not going to walk by sight. We're not walking by sight. We're walking by faith. We look to Him who, in whom dwells all sufficiency, all fullness, not to ourselves. They said, we won't be able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we. You know, when they went into that land, the Lord said, I'm leaving some giants, and I'm leaving some enemies in it to try you. When God calls one of His sheep and creates us anew, He leaves us in this body of death, and there's a bunch of giants in this land that we can't overcome. They're stronger than we are. They're stronger than we are. You start looking to your own strength to overcome your sin. You start looking to your own strength to make yourself righteous and holy. The devil will leave you alone. That's exactly what he wants you to do. Look at you. Look at you. Ooh, you're doing good. Go on. That's we won't find any encouragement there. We'll find discouragement there. We'll find ourselves puffed up, or we'll find ourselves lying down completely. Completely. We look to Him who holds all power in heaven and earth. That's where we look. They said, this is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. You know what this land of flesh is? It's briars. Paul will tell you, Paul said, I was given a thorn in the flesh just to remind me of it, that it's nothing but briars. And this land we're walking through is nothing but briars. In the sweat of your face, you're going to eat bread all your days. That's the curse of this land. We're going to find any happiness there? We're going to find happiness in a curse. Is that where we're going to find happiness? He said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength's made perfect in your weakness. My faith, my strength is made known by you being completely, totally ignorant. Completely, totally without strength, completely unable to do one thing for yourself. God says, that's how my strength is made to be set forth as being all your strength. Well, let's go back. We'll hurry here, but this is a sad thing. This is what unbelief does. It's even so sad. It discourages brethren. It promotes rebellion against God. Mutiny against those God has sent to lead, and it draws men backwards. That's what it does. What's it sound like? Those poor folks down there at that firehouse. I just wish they could see. I just wish they could see. Wish they could understand. Has that mate brought peace to your heart? Has that brought peace to the one you've whispered it to over the telephone? Has that brought peace anytime, anywhere, any place, with anybody? Here's what it did there. Verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. Numbers 14:1. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. That was the one sent to lead them. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. It's all your fault. What we saw in that land, it's your fault, Moses. Isn't unbelief absurd? Moses, we saw giant people in that land. It's your fault. That's just absurd, isn't it? Look at verse 3. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land? It's His fault too. To fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey, were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt. Do you think Satan's going to come and discourage them from that. It's exactly what he wants them to do. Set up a ruler amongst you and go back to Egypt. Go back to Pharaoh. Go back to bondage. Go back to the man who's charging you to hear the gospel preached so he can make merchandise of your soul. Go back to a man who's prostituting the gospel and is a whoremonger among men trying to make a profit off of God. Go to him and bow down to him and take his whip and his chain. The just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We don't realize the peace we forfeit by not just listening to God. We don't realize the mercy we forsake by not just hearing God. A man will say, you ought to do more and go do more and try to coddle us more and show that you love more. Moses couldn't have done more than he did. He took them through that wilderness, listened to that murmuring constantly, and just kept pointing them to God, kept pointing them to God, kept pointing them to God. And you say, you're just trying to make me come and hear what God said. You're trying to make me think I got to be there hearing the gospel preached all the time. And this man will say, no, you don't. You don't even have to come here at all. And then the same man will turn around and say, well, you ought to love me more than that. You ought to come after me and come get me. My God's big enough to get you. My God's big enough to bring you back. If he ain't giving you the heart to be here, you won't be here. If he don't draw you here, you won't come here. If he don't knit our hearts together, I'll never be your pastor. And you'll never want to hear a word I say. I'm not going to try to make that happen. I'm going to keep doing what God's given me to do. Tell you the truth. You know where it's going to be. We forfeit needless. We make needless pain by trying to spy out this land, trying to find strength by what we see and our wisdom and our works rather than trusting Christ by faith. If we could just cast everything into his hand and leave it there. He said, look unto me and be ye saved. Is that just for the sinner seeking Christ? That's for the believer who's living in the constant hope and strength of him. Look unto me. He never changes. His gifts of life and calling of grace without change. It never changes. You've been given a great privilege where a work is begun. If you don't come and not just here, but like be with one another, be with together when we're together and stuff, we miss it. We miss what God does. We miss it. I want to be a part of the church that this world don't recognize. I do. Because I don't recognize this world's church. It's dead to me and I'm dead to it. Thankfully, by God's grace, I've been crucified in Christ. But do you see these things? I said this Thursday night. We're seeing this happen amongst us. I see it happening, don't you? I see these things where we... Y'all come up here now, and we, after services, we sit here sometimes an hour together before we ever even go, leave. And then when we get together at dinner and different things, we get together, and it's just so sweet. God does this through the gospel. He does this through the gospel. All right. Well, the Lord gospel won't let us hear. The unbelief won't let us hear this gospel. Let's just try to look at this. Verse 7. Numbers 14:7. They spake unto all the company of the children of Israel. This is Joshua and Caleb. They were right there with them. They were in the trenches with them. They were suffering. They saw what they saw. They went to that land with them, just like we're here together. And Joshua and Caleb stood up, and they said, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. Hadn't the Lord promised us an inheritance that doesn't fade away, reserved in heaven for us? It cost him his only begotten son. It cost his son coming to where we are and bearing the shameful death of the cross. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. That's where he went when he went to the cross. And he said, if I go prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself. And as soon as he got through and said, it's finished, and came out of the grave the third day, he came right back and said, Peter, here I am. I receive you to myself, even after all your rebellion against me. Numbers 8 says, verse 80, they said, if the Lord delight in us. How does the Lord delight in us? Look down at verse 24. My servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Read it again now, verse 8. If the Lord delight in us, if we merely trust the Lord, if we merely trust the Lord, then he'll bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. God's going to receive the glory. God will bring us into this land. It won't be by our wisdom, our will, or our works. God will give it us, they said. And his gifts are going to be better than anything we could get, leaning our own understanding. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Look at verse 9. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they're bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord's with us. Don't fear them. Let me show you. You know how true that was? Do you know how true that is in this world? Turning to Joshua 2. I got to show you this. You know how true that was? You know how true that is for us in this world where we are, brethren? Listen to this. While the children of Israel were murmuring in unbelief, blaming Moses and Aaron, and trying to make them a captain and wanting to go back to Egypt because they all those people and those walls and those cities and everything about that land was so big, here's what the people in the land were saying. Joshua 2:9. This is Rahab speaking by faith. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. We heard that how, what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he's God in heaven above and in earth beneath. That's what all those mighty strong giants they were afraid of over there. that's what they were thinking. While they were sitting here murmuring and pining away in unbelief. But did unbelief hear all that good news? Look back at Numbers 14:10. Did unbelief hear all that good news? But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Unbelief won't let you hear the good news. Unbelief. Somebody says, well, I just don't know why they don't delight in this. I do. Unbelief won't let a man delight in the gospel. I don't know why they just can't get all their fill of eating and feeding at this blessed table. I do. Unbelief won't let a man eat here. It just won't. When's the last time you went to the table full? You can't. A man that's full loathes a honeycomb. Got to be hungry. Unbelief won't let a man eat this. How does God regard it all? Look at verse 11. Hit Numbers 14:11. How long will this people provoke me? God said, they're provoking me. Why? Why does it provoke God? Because it's in the face of everything God's shown us. Look at verse 11. How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I've showed among them? We got more than they had. We got Christ's incarnation. We got Christ's pierced hands. We got Christ saying, it's finished. We got Christ saying, in this world you shall have a tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. We've got Christ saying, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We've got Christ saying, lo, I'm with you always. We've got Christ ascending to the Father. We've got the Spirit of God speaking in our hearts, bearing witness. How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I've showed among them? How long is it we're going to be before we believe him? Well, I got a lot more to show you, but I can't. We're out of time. But let me just say this. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. We looked at that Thursday night to prepare us for this message. He went out not knowing where he went. He didn't say, let me go spy it out first, and I'll determine if I'm going to believe you or not. He just went. God said, here it is, go. And he just went. He just did what God said, trusted God. To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If God had given those men that land, he owed it to them. He owed it to them. Because they went in and worked. If they would have went in and looked and spied it out, said, all right, we believe we'll take it. He'd have owed it to them because they'd have got it by the work of their own hand. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Are you happy? Are you happy? Are you happy? I don't mean every now and then. I don't mean when you're by the palm trees. I mean all the time. Are you happy? Believe God and you will be happy. Happiness is believing God. And believing God's happiness. I'm happy all the time. I may not look happy to you all the time. I'm happy all the time. I really am happy all the time. Listen to what David said. The blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. If you looked at David when he was going through this life, all David saw in his life was trouble and uphill heartache every day of his life. That's what he saw every day of his life. I mean, sons that reject him, rape between his children. I mean, just things that were horrible in his life. All David had was the word of God. And that was all to David. You know what he said? He said, it's not so with my house, but God has made with me an everlasting word, an everlasting promise, an everlasting covenant. It's ordered in all things, and it's sure, and it's all my salvation and all my desire, everything. Now, God's not a man that he should lie. We're going to have tribulation. There's going to be briars. There's going to be bills to pay. We're going to have to put our hand to the plow. The field's not going to plow itself. We're going to have to plow. And there's going to be setbacks. But God's true. He said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. What reason does God have? He can't lie. He's holy. There's no lie in him. But what reason, what advantage would it be to lie to you and me about anything anyway? God can't lie. I want to end by reminding you of Paul's words. Look at Acts 27:25. Next time that you come into some, when God brings you right to the land, he says, I've given this to you, and you find yourself wanting to doubt, and you come into some storm that's raging, and you find yourself doubting and thinking, well, this must be God turning me away. It might be the way God's opening it for us. It might be. But this is what, remember this, when Paul faced the stormy sea, this was what he said. And remember this, think about this. He said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Amen.